This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Welcome back to the Neil Reynolds Podcast, and welcome to an episode that makes me feel old. Very old. For those of you who know me, I've been around this league for a long time, and when, like me, you have been, there are occasions when you get a slap in the face to remind you, and that's exactly what happened when I spoke with Travis Gibson for this episode. You'll hear Travis explain how he started playing American football 20 years ago when he was just five, and it made me think about my own age and where I was, what I was doing. Back when Travis was first picking up a football, I was 30, living my NFL dream in the media, but it suddenly dawned on me, Travis actually started playing this century. When I took up my interest in the NFL, it was close to 40 years ago, and cable TV was barely in existence, let alone the internet. Anyway, it just shows you how the league continues to evolve and young talent emerges every year. As Travis has done himself in more recent times with the Chicago Bears. Very exciting young player. Before I bring him in, just a quick reminder that we're supported by Elite Sports Travel. And like last week, Darren Fletcher will join to tell us a little bit about his own travel plans with them for the 22 seasons. There's more on that later. Darren's always had a soft spot for the Chicago Bears, so I'm sure he'll enjoy this chat with Travis Gibson. Here it is. Growing up, was football part of your life from a young age? Do you remember early football memories?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. I've been playing football since I was about 5 years old. And, it went from flag to, pads. And now it's at the highest level that they can get, and I couldn't be more appreciative.
Was it always defense for you?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Always.
Why do you feel you were drawn to that side of the ball, or did coaches at a young age just put you on that side of the ball?
I think I was just physical, man. I've always been tall. Majority of the time I was taller than most kids, and I think that's just where they saw me, fitting best, honestly.
I read that your brother is a pro basketball player. So how competitive was it between you and Thomas when you were younger?
It was very competitive, from seeing who's fastest, who's the strongest, everything. So he's always pushed me. He's a great role model in my life. And, I couldn't be more proud, honestly.
Who were the players that you looked up to when you were younger? Who were the teams and players that you liked watching when you were growing up?
So my favorite team used to be the Seattle Seahawks. Obviously, now it's the Chicago Bears. And, as far as players, I would watch Michael Vick, Julius Peppers. It's a great list of players that I used to watch. But indeed, I've loved watching the Seattle Seahawks as a kid.
You grew up in Texas, right? So you played at Cedar Hill High School. How, from afar, so looking at it from here, looking at the UK, we hear about Texas high school football. And we see Friday Night Lights and all of those programs. Is that what it's like? Was it crazy playing high school football in Texas?
Oh, yeah. It's really crazy, man. Everybody's in the parking lot waiting on the game to start. And, it gets packed. We have cookouts, pregame, barbecue. It's a bunch of stuff that goes into it. But, we do take it serious. We fund it pretty at a high level, from stadiums to, locations playing in the Cowboys stadium. So, it's pretty high class up there. But, I think it turned me into the player that I am today, and I'm glad I was able to participate in it.
When did you play in the Cowboys stadium? Was that for the state championship?
Yes, sir, it was.
What was that like?
It was crazy, man. It was crazy. They had the Jumbotron, and, it was pretty packed out. It was pretty packed out. That's when I realized, wow, this is real Texas football.
Was it, because obviously, what would you be then? 17, 18 years old? So 16, 17, 18? What's that like? Is there pressure, or is it just exciting, that part of your life?
It was really both. Putting on the pads in the playoffs, not knowing is this your last time, suiting up with your high school buddies. It was a lot of pressure, but with, with our coach, our head coach, Roy McGuire at the time, I think he coached us into those situations and, you know, being able to handle that adversity and fighting through stuff like that stuff.
Something you just mentioned there with high school, I guess for some people, high school football, that's the end. For you, were you worried at one point that that might be the end? Because there weren't, you know, reading your story, there weren't huge amounts of college offers, were there? What was that like? And actually, did you, I bet you did use that as motivation. I bet players always looking for motivation. Tell me about that, the going from high school to college and what that was like.
You know, it was an adjustment. It was an adjustment. You know, I only had one opportunity, like I said, University of Tulsa. And I just knew if I wanted to play professionally that I would have to make the best out of it. So, you know, I started eating, lifting weights. You know, I put on about 60 pounds. And, you know, thankfully, it got me to a point that I'm very appreciative of. You know I keep saying that, but it's nothing like it, man. And, you know, I'm just thankful that I put in the hard work and stuff. You know, I knew it would be challenging. Obviously, I knew it wouldn't. My chances of making the NFL would be slim, but, you know, as long as you have a chance, that's all you need.
Did you use it as motivation, the fact that you didn't have huge amounts of opportunities?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I felt like I was overlooked, like nobody really knew who I was. I hadn't proven my point yet, so I'm still on that.
Still working through that.
Yeah, still working through that. So,
well, I mean, Tom Brady found chips on his shoulder until he was 43 years. I mean, it works if you've got something to motivate you, right?
Yeah, it does. And hey, you see the player that Tom Brady turned out to be.
I was told, reliably informed, one of the first football jerseys you bought was a Khalil Mack jersey. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, sir.
Yeah. How bizarre that you end up playing with him. Was he somebody that, what was that, when you were in college, did you just like his style of play?
Oh, yeah. You know, I saw how he, you know, got out to the quarterback, and it was just really, it was nothing much to be said after that. I had never purchased anybody's jersey, but, you know, I felt like that, him playing how he played, you know, it inspired me in a bunch of different ways. So I got on it, and playing with him now is something that I honestly never imagined. You know, I can only imagine the line of people it would take for, you know, to want to actually play with Khalil Mack. And, you know, I know it would be endless. So that's just an opportunity that I'm highly appreciative of and trying to take advantage of.
It's interesting with young players to try and soak in as much information as you can. And obviously you can do that when you get to the NFL, but you did that even in college. I'm interested to know how you ended up at the Pass Rush Summit. You're invited by Von Miller, and then you're working with Von Miller and Aaron Donald. How does that happen to a young player who's still in college at Tulsa?
So good thing was, you know, Von Miller went to DeSoto High School. That's Cedar Hill High School's rival. So, you know, we're from the same part of Dallas a little bit. And, you know, I saw he was hosting the Pass Rush Summit. You know, I shot him a message, hey, is there any way that I can get in? And he gave me the information, and that was something that – I'm glad that he did, because I soaked up so much information from him, you know, Aaron Donald to DeMarcus Ware. You know, it was a mountain of guys who just gave me so much information that I used to be able to dominate my last year in college.
What sort of things was that? Is that technique or is it preparation? What would you say were the big things you learned from, you know, a few days spent with Von Miller and Aaron Donald?
I think it was, honestly, it was so much, man.
I bet.
For the category, but, you know, from how to take care of my body to how to watch film, how to break down my opponents, you know, how to use my strengths against, you know, my opponents, basically strengths and weaknesses, understanding my pass rush role. And, you know, it's in the pass rush game, it's so much that you can get caught into. You know, trying to do so many moves, but they told me, like, hey, you need two, three moves that you can master and a couple counters. You know, you don't need everything. Trying to work on 10 different things, you know, it wasn't getting the job done. So I think that would, I just listed about 5-6 things, but that helped a lot, honestly.
Yeah. Simplifying things, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Let's talk about the NFL draft then. So, 5th round draft pick of the Chicago Bears 2020. The experience, were you happy waiting to the 5th round? Were you pleased to be hear your name called, what was the emotions on draft day, draft weekend?
Man, you know, honestly, I wanted to go higher in the draft. You know, it started creeping into the fifth round, and I'm just like, Jesus, man, I just need a shot at this point. I don't care who it is. I don't care where it is. Just give me a chance. And, you know, I went back into my room and just chilled for a little minute. And then, you know, thank God I got the call from the Chicago Bears. And I definitely was not expecting the Chicago Bears. You know, I was thinking that it was going to be Seattle or New York or Jacksonville. You know, those were the teams that was talking to me most during the combine and obviously the process. So I was pretty caught off guard with Chicago. But then, again, I obviously knew Khalil Mack, and I'm like, well, shoot, I get a chance to rush the passer with him. So let's do it, man. Let's do it.
At least privately, when it was getting into the fourth round, fifth round, were you at least privately to yourself saying, I know I'm better than that guy, and I'm better than that guy?
Yeah, it became, yeah, I had some moments like that, but, you know I deep down, I knew I still had to prove a lot, so I didn't let it get to me too much.
And that adjustment from college to the pros, and we hear about it all the time, but I don't think you ever really will appreciate it unless you're there doing what you've had to do. Was it different? Is everything so much different from college to the pros, or was it still the same game to you?
To me, honestly, it was a little different. You know, it was faster. You had to know more. You had to know other positions. And I mean, it's always been that way, but I think it becomes a little bit more serious when people's livelihoods are on the line, you know? So that brought a whole nother amount of pressure to it. And, you know, you got to be responsible. You know, it's not, your chances aren't really as favored or guaranteed as they are in college or, you know, high school coming up. Easily lose your job. So that was an adjustment, but I'm really appreciative that, you know, my draft class luckily landed on the COVID year. So we did get, basically, I felt like my first year was sort of like a rookie red shirt. You know, I didn't really play much, and it gave me an opportunity to learn the game, slow it down. And I think that overall helped me going into my second year, honestly.
How quickly did you learn about the history of the Chicago Bears defenses? Is that something that's told to defensive players when you arrive at Soldier Field, or is it just something you already know?
Man, I think it's something that's already known, honestly, man. But, you know, you do have the great offensive players too. You know, Walter Payton, we have our center indoor, and, you know, we get reminded all the time, it's players that were great on both sides of the ball that came from that franchise. So, you know, it's a great opportunity to be able to play for them.
You said it was a kind of good opportunity, that redshirt year, if you will, in the NFL. And I wonder how much you kind of, again, like you did with Von Miller and Aaron Donald, how much you sort of just soaked up what Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack do. How much did you do that? But also, is there still a part of the athlete in you, a young athlete who's like, I just want to get out there as well. I just want to play. I mean, tell me about that whole process in that first year of balancing learning, but also the competitor in you.
Man, it was, honestly, it was pretty tough, man, because I knew I wanted to play, but I wasn't able to gauge how good I was because I hadn't played. So it was like I feel like I was sitting on top of a mystery box the whole time, just soaking in plays and or not plays, but moves, techniques, you know, stuff that I could get from those guys, seeing what made them successful. And really, that's the only thing that I could do about it, man. You know, I stopped getting my hopes up and just started, you know, working, preparing for that opportunity presented itself.
Let's talk about the 2021 season then. Just looking at your numbers, 7 sacks, 5 forced fumbles, and those forced fumbles are no fluke. I was looking at your college numbers. 2018 season, you had 4 sacks and 5 forced fumbles. So we'll talk about sacks in a second, but do you, with your style of play, are you always looking to get after the football?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah, I feel like when that's your mindset, getting after the football, I feel like that's when the big plays come. You know, I feel like a lot of people are more worried about just getting a tackle or, you know, making a play. But getting that ball out, it can swing the momentum momentum of the game in such crazy ways that, you know, basically it's a higher chance of you winning. You know, you give your chance, you give your team more chances, and honestly, that's as clear as it is, honestly.
Just get that ball back for the offense.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll be back with more from Jarvis Gibson after this short break.
So, Darren Fletcher, welcome to the Neil Reynolds podcast. I understand you've got quite a trip coming up.
Yes, we have. We're really excited about it. We're calling it the Fumble Road Trip with Fletch and Vern. And we're basically inviting people to come with us in September, back end of September, for a double header in the US, heading first of all to Raymond James Stadium to see what I think is certainly the most eagerly anticipated regular season game before the season starts, and that is Tom Brady against Aaron Rodgers, week 3, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Green Bay Packers, which is going to be sensational. And then heading off to New York on the Monday to go to New Jersey that night to MetLife Stadium for what is one of the great and iconic rivalries in the National Football League when the New York Giants host the Dallas Cowboys. So we've got a great trip planned.
As I say, get there while you can, because Brady and Rodgers aren't going to be around for much longer.
Well, I think this is it. You know, I mean, this is highly likely to be the final regular season meeting between the two of them. Of course, they may clash in the playoffs depending on qualification and seedings, etc. But I mean, these meetings are few and far between anyway.
So the trip is from the 22nd to the 27th of September, and it's with Elite Sports Travel, who are our partner on the podcast this year. Just tell us a little bit about your relationship with them.
Yeah, well, this is the first one I've done with them. They've done quite a few. And I mean, they're the best in the business at what they do. They organise fantastic trips. They make sure that everybody's looked after. The places that we stay are nice places to stay. The flights are all fantastically organised, the transfers, etc. So I think you can kind of go on it with the peace of mind that it's going to be a very well-organised trip. Yeah, the Elite Sports Travel boys have got it all boxed off. They're going to do all the organising. What people don't have to worry about here is that Vernon and me are doing anything like that. We're the novices. They're the experts. All the important stuff is going to be done by people who know what they're doing. We're just there to try and entertain, make sure people have a good time and share the experience with them.
I was going to say, because as a trip as well, they're not only getting Rodgers and Brady, they're getting Fletch and Vern.
Yeah, so there is a downside to everything. We've got the upside of Brady Rodgers, the downside, me and Vern.
So that's Fletch and Vern's Fumble Road Trip from the 22nd to the 27th of September. For more information, if you just head over to elitesportstravel.co.uk, where you'll see a funny video of Fletch and Vern giving you the same pitch.
Yeah, a slightly shorter version of what we've just done.
Excellent. Thanks for that, Fletch.
Thank you.
This is 7-time Pro Bowler Cam Jordan, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast.
Did it give you confidence the way you played as that 2021 season progressed and kind of how you finished? Obviously you're always, I think I'm getting the impression you're gonna drive yourself on again and want to improve to even greater heights, but did it give you that confidence to know I can do this now at a high level in the NFL, the highest of levels?
Oh yeah, it did. And you know, I really felt like I started heating up towards the end of the season. And basically, I felt like I ran out of time. So I'm just appreciative that I was able to play, because it's going to give me film to look at and obviously ways to critique myself, to critique my game, what I can get better at. And, you know, hopefully that'll help me out to produce more this upcoming season.
So, you're a young player, but you've already had to play with your hand in the dirt, play with rushing from standing up. Is that all like kind of tools on your tool belt now that you've done it this way and then you've done it another way? Is that the way to look at that, the way you've had to play in a couple of different ways?
Oh yeah, most definitely. And you know, it's funny, I thought about that the other day, because now that we're going to primarily 4-3 defense, I think my hand will be more in the dirt, but I'm thinking this whole past season I played without it in the dirt. So now, you know, I feel like I'm almost comfortable all around. You know, I'm not obviously comfortable, but I'm, you know, I feel like I'm taking steps in the right direction. And, you know, I'll obviously, like you said, have more tools to be able to do what needs to get done.
I loved seeing on your Instagram that you tag in the quarterbacks that you sack with a picture of them. Just fantastic. It's so good. I don't think I've ever seen anyone do that before. Do you like to have a little chat with the opponents on the field?
Oh, yeah.
Are you a bit of a talker?
Yeah. I don't talk that much on the field, but, you know, if another player gets me started up, then I'll go there. But, you know, it's honestly just all fun and games, man. I said something about the Vikings quarterback the other day, and, man, his fan base, the Vikings fan base just let me have it. And it was pretty tough, but that was my first time catching heat like that in a while. So, you know, I think, like I said, it's all fun and games, but if I dish it out, I got to be able to take it too. And, you know, like I said, it's no disrespect at all. It's just jokes.
Yeah, I mean, I get the sense like you said, you've worked hard to get to where you are.
Yes, sir.
Do you kind of, obviously it's a business, and I'm sure when it's 100 degrees and it's training camp, then it's tough. But do you still see it as a game and still try and keep that passion at heart that this is a game?
Oh, yeah. I still have to remind myself it's a game. But, you know, at the same time, it's life. You know, it's responsibilities. I have to pay rent, pay bills. You know, this is the way that I live, the way that I want to live. And like I said, it's the grown men out there who have kids and stuff, and they have responsibilities. So the pressure is on. And basically, it's just you got to show up and show up and do your job if you want to keep it.
You may not want to name names, but has anyone, so you said if they get you going, then you'll talk back to them. Are there some players that are really renowned for talking a lot?
Yeah, it is. There's a couple players that, you know, they can't, you know, you always had those players that try to get in your head and, you know, throw you off your game. So in those situations, it can get pretty hashy. Yeah.
That's when I'm glad I'm watching from a studio, not in there. You know, you can deal with all that stuff in there. Let's talk about when you sack the quarterback then, and your celebration. I really feel like my daughter should be doing this part of the interview because she loves Marvel and she loves all the superheroes. But you really like Thor, right? Is that where your celebration came from?
Yes, sir, it is. I love Thor, man. And you know, I know it's just all fantasy and imagination, but, you know, the characters, they're pretty cool. I've always watched DC and Marvel, you know, since I was a kid. So, you know, I was just walking around the house one day and I just thought about it. And, you know, I did it just jokingly messing around. And I'm just like, man, it was a little different, but I was like, I feel like that's pretty cool. Like, and then I got my first sack and I just did it. And then I was like, all right, well, I guess I got to do it all the time now. Like,
you don't want to break that. Yeah, once you got a lucky streak, you got to go with it. Why Thor? Why not Iron Man or Black Panther or Spider-Man? Why was it Thor?
You know, I think I just like the action of the swinging of the hammer. You know, it gives me, I don't know. It's pretty fun to me. And, you know, I feel like they're sort of different. I mean, yeah, Thor has powers, but, you know, I mean, I guess because you said Iron Man, you know, Iron Man is like machine-like. You know, they all had their own different, but I think I just like the action of it. And obviously, I've enjoyed watching Thor and Marvel. So,
see, I feel like Thor's got the appropriate level of violence for an NFL pass rusher. So that's why you appreciate it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a couple of bits. Justin Fields obviously came on board last year and lots of excitement around that. Hope for the future as well. I'm sure you're not allowed to touch him in practice, but what do you see in practice and what do you see from this young passer on game days?
Man, honestly, I see the future, man. I think he's going to be able to, not I think, I know he's going to be able to get it done. And, you know, with him being in the right hands, we're going to make some good damage. You know, he's athletic, he's smart, he's young, has his head on right, you know, he hangs with the right crowd. So, you know, I have no doubt that he'll be able to carry Chicago Bears and, you know, do what he needs to do to be the quarterback for our team.
And your new head coach, Matt Eberflus, what have you said? Again, only limited at this time, I'm sure, but what do you think of what he's going to bring to the table?
I think he's going to bring a lot to the table. You know, I haven't been able to meet him in person yet, but I know he's fiery. You know, the videos that I've seen, he's a great players coach. You know, he's respectable and respected. And, you know, I think he's going to be a great addition to our staff and what he can do for this franchise.
Last couple, what would you tell yourself? And I know you're only 2 years in now, but what would you tell the high school version of yourself to be prepared for as you try and go through that journey to reach where you are now in the NFL? What advice would you give yourself? That's a tough one, I know. What have you learned most, do you think, from the journey?
Really just persevere, man. Just fight through the battles and never giving up. You know, it was times, I reached some tough times down at Tulsa, and it was just like, you know, I could have easily gave up, could have called it quits, but I think where would I be had I done that? You know, had I stopped giving up, or, you know what I'm saying, stopped giving it my all. And, you know, I was just, I think that's what I would tell myself, be ready, because the world can get to you.
What's the world going to be saying about you in 5 years' time, do you think?
Man, defensive MVP, face of the league. You know, I got crazy dreams, man. Crazy dreams, but they won't be achieved unless I put the work in. So that's my dream, though. Super Bowl MVP, you know, 2020 decade team. I don't know why I said
yep.
That's the past. I'm tripping. But, yeah, man, I got a bunch of goals, but dominating is one of them. So hopefully that's being talked about most 5 years from now.
And it doesn't hurt to set those goals, does it? You got to shoot for the stars, right? I mean, that's the whole point of what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like that's how it should be in life. Just, you know, giving it your all. And once you do that, I don't think many people would be upset with the results that they get, honestly.
Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Travis Gibson. Look out for him during the 2022 season with the Chicago Bears. Let's bring in another young rising star, Gary Hayes, to open up the mailbag. What we got, Gary?
Oh, you spoke about being old at the start of this episode, and Neil, to call me a young rising star, ruined, what, 20 years ago myself?
You pulled a hamstring pressing record.
Oh, my bicep, I can feel the burn as I move the mouse. Right, where were we? What am I doing? Oh, yeah, mailbag.
I did actually get injured once covering the NFL, I should point out. I definitely worried the Los Angeles Rams team doctor who sent me for an ultra scan. There you go. He thought I had deep vein thrombosis from flying around America so much.
You
so
actually told us that. Them. Yeah, you've told
I did,
us that
I scared
in mailbag.
The Rams. I did scare the Rams team doctor to the point of that's how in shape I am.
So. Unfortunately, it wasn't DVT, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was just
a bad
old
diet.
Man's legs. Economy middle seat.
And that airplane food.
EMS, economy middle seat. It's a much worse case. You don't want that, I'm telling you. Never, ever get EMS.
So first question, Neil, how do you prefer traveling? First class or EMS?
Oh, first class all the way. Absolutely.
Well, have a word with Elite Sports Travel. Oh, enough about them.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so, Neil, mailbag. Bob Halliwell. He says, aside from the Dolphins, are there any NFL teams you particularly look forward to visiting on your camp tour? And if so, why?
So, I guess it depends a lot on how you're treated by the team, whether I've got players that I get on well with at those places. So I always like going to the Minnesota Vikings. You know, I like working with Kirk Cousins. I've done a lot with him. Have a lot of friends on the staff at the Vikings. A lot of people that I've worked with for many years. It's always first class treatment. Love it every time I go there. So the Vikings would be top of the list. And then I like going to training camp places where there's some great tradition. So the Philadelphia Eagles used to host their training camp at Lehigh University. It was fantastic. The grounds and the facilities, it was beautiful in Pennsylvania. But they've moved back. Most teams now trained this summer and have done for a number of years in their own facilities. And so it's not doesn't have quite the same romance. But I loved Green Bay for the first time this year. And I saw they have this great tradition, Gary, where all the kids line up outside the stadium and there's probably a 500-yard walk from the stadium to the practice fields, and all the kids line up with their bikes, and then they choose a Packers player, or Packers player chooses them, and the player rides the kid's bike to practice, and the kid holds the helmet and walks alongside. And I learned about that while I was there. And there are players that choose the same kid week after week, year after year. And when those kids go on to high school or college, they stay in touch with the players. And you see 300-pound offensive linemen on tiny little pink bikes for like a six-year-old girl. It's amazing. Just the connection between the community and the team. And that tradition was fantastic. So Green Bay's now right up there.
It sounds like something out of E.T. They end up floating off.
They do float well. Aaron Rodgers
with the kid in the basket.
He can do pretty much anything he wants, Aaron Rodgers. So his one, he can make fly, yes.
Right. Last question of this episode, Neil. Jamie Foyle. This is a bit of a loaded question. It's going to require you to think deep. What would be your Frankenstein stadium? So you can take the amenities from one, the field from another, seats, atmosphere, etc. And I guess for you, because of what you do, the press box.
Ooh. Yeah, so amenities, I don't really get to enjoy them because we don't really walk around and see them. But I've heard great things about Levi's Stadium. You know, it's not your typical beer and a hot dog. You can get a nice glass of wine. You can have some lobster. That's a bit different. That's a different level in San Francisco. They obviously are a classy bunch there. Atlanta, I like, because from amenities point of view, from what I've heard, and I remember this, you know, $1 hot dog, $1 soda you can get. So that's very fan friendly. In terms of the look of a stadium, I'll never, ever forget the Super Bowl we did. We were in the end zone at US Bank Stadium, the home of the Vikings. It was just sensational. So the Vikings Stadium for the kind of look. The field, I like a grass field, so I'll probably go somewhere like Miami when it's in good shape. Sight lines and being close to the field, there's nothing, and I mean nothing, better than Tottenham Hotspur Stadium for an NFL game. There genuinely isn't a bad seat in the house. They always say that about stadiums. Oh, there's not a bad seat in the house. There really isn't there. And then atmosphere, it's weird, this one, because some of the seats at this place are just still old bleachers, as I've said before. But atmosphere, I'm going Lambeau Field in Green Bay every day of the week. And not just because of the crowd, not the crowd noise necessarily, you know, places like Seattle, Kansas City, maybe louder, New Orleans in the Superdome, but just the history of it. You can't help but feel the history. You know, Aaron Rodgers told me over the summer, he just gets chills every time he runs out into that stadium. It comes up out of nowhere. It's a small town. There's not much there. Then all of a sudden you turn a street and it's a bit like some of our football stadiums, you know, that do that. And they come out of nowhere and they're there. And they're not these big multiplexes. They're just a stadium in a town. You can smell the bratwurst cooking, you know, the tailgating going on outside the stadium. I've been in November when there was a chill in the air and you know, people are bundled up. Oh, it's just brilliant. Lambeau Field. Everyone has to get to Lambeau Field once in there. NFL fandom is a bucket list item.
Is it a difficult place to get tickets because they're highly subscribed?
Yeah, I mean, so they're left in wills and things. My experiences of traveling now is at training camp with the Packers. I started talking to a couple of season ticket holders. Their daughter had been on the season ticket waiting list from the day she was born. She's in her 40s now and nowhere near getting a season ticket. You can get them on the secondary market. You can get them through places like Elite Sports Travel. So there are ways now to get tickets. But, you know, getting a season ticket at Lambeau, you've got to know someone who knows someone who's related to someone who's about to die.
And US Bank Stadium, do you know who the first professional sports team was to play there before the Vikings?
Well, professional, I assume, given your background, you're going to say Chelsea. But that's
Chelsea
in no way
Football Club.
So the question should be which ragtag? No, I'm not going to go there.
Which two-time European champions were the first
two,
team?
Well done, two. Good boy. Well done.
More than any other London club. Anyway, we digress. It's the wrong.
Good.
It's
yeah,
the wrong
we definitely
sport.
Digress.
We'll save this for the pub.
Yeah, we'll save this for the pub or a new podcast idea. Who knows? But my thanks for this week to.
Oh wait, we haven't
Gibson.
Got on to who's going to be next week, Neil.
No, I don't know who's next week. You only sent me all these scripts. Who is next week?
Oh, next week is going to be none other than Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, well, I apologise to the best running back in the NFL, in my opinion. Yes, so there you go. Gary's put me straight. And to kick off, as we get to the season now, the great Jonathan Taylor of the Indianapolis Colts will join us on the Neil Reynolds podcast. So look forward to that. Look forward to your company for that one. My thanks to Gary Hayes, to Travis Gibson, and to you for listening. We'll see you next time. Listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast brought to you by Elite Sports Travel. This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds, while Gary Hayes is our producer. Gary and I have also written this series together. Our consultant producers are Kerry Levy, Jackie Anklin, Nick Lapworth, and Neil Pacchietto. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. If you'd like to keep up to date with everything we're doing throughout the season, then please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the NR Podcast. My personal account is also at Neil Reynolds NFL. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more like it, then visit highway61.media. That's HWY61.media. Please tell your friends about the podcast and help spread the word. Better still, leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening. This has been a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.